Anybody remember what we talked about when we had the sermon, the theme, the great oneness? We did. We talked about puzzles, and I specifically said if I could make a mirror pieces into puzzle pieces, that it would be great to put those two images together. Anything else we remember about the great oneness? It's all coming back together, that creation is not meant to be separate. When we do separateness things, when people, and I know we do this in our psychological makeup, we start off, we're pretty enmeshed with our parents. We are one and the same with our parents. And then we get this streak of independence where the answer from every four-year-old is no, because they finally felt empowered by the word no. No, no, no. And then we're still figuring out our identity through high school. And at some point, we start to realize that interdependence, that this woven togetherness, this I need to be connected, starts to be woven back into our spirit. I think that theme is in the words like forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation. That's the theme of oneness. Last week, the theme was the great paradox. Can anyone remember last week? I'll just sit and wait. Be still and know that they will have forgotten. We did. We used the imagery of a rock, and everybody got to hold on to a rock. We remember that part, don't we? The paradox part is when God says, if you want to gain your life, you got to lose it. If you want to live, you got to die. And we've got to hold those pieces together in order to get to the truth. The truth isn't in the living and the dying. It's in the weaving those things together and holding on to them. So the piece that I hope was meaningful to you was when I asked you to turn the rock over and realize it's not just the rock you are meant to throw. It's the rock that Jesus saved from being thrown at you. And so convicted humility is the phrase that I'd love for you to not let out of your brain. Don't let that one leak out. Close your mouth and put your fingers in your ear so it doesn't leak out. Convicted humility. Some of us think that in order to have humility, we've got to have just the right spirit and be perfect. But it turns out in Scripture, in order to be humble, it's because we realize that we are an utter failure. Just me? Anybody need jackets for the club? All right, today is the great unknowing, and I want you to know this may be the most challenging part of spiritual life for me. And I think it's important that you hear me talk about it because it is one of the great themes of Scripture, and I practice it poorly. If somebody got up here and was talented at it, you'd think that it lets you off the hook. If I ignored it, you would think it lets you off the hook. I don't think I'm off the hook in terms of this theme in Scripture. But man, is this one hard for me. I don't know whether it's the way God wired me or the way my family raised us or whatever, but I have this great urge to be very, very productive. I've got a list of to-do things for home. I've got a to-do list of things to do for work. I not only have one for work, I have one for this committee and this committee and this committee and this committee. I've got enough things on my list to be 3 or 4 years out. I have enough books to be read for work that it would take, it's going to, at the pace I read, and I read fairly quickly, I think I'm about 2.5 years queued up. So if you give me a new book, I'll get to it in about 3 years. And the sad part is, I'm reading books on how to slow down. And I've got the Kindle reading it to me as fast as it will. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to tell you, I really struggle with this. Some of you do this like it's a natural, beautiful thing. And I have to put be still on my to-do list. Part of it is the role of clergy because the job is never done. There's always somebody else. There's always more of. I know that some of you think that clergy only work on Sunday morning. I invite you to talk to a clergy spouse. Because it makes it worse. The reminder to our spouses that we work too much is, I, at times, find myself reading on my vacation books about productivity so that when I come back, I can be more efficient. Because I'm still trying to figure out how to get more done. The great unknowing is a reminder that it's not about thinking the right things or thinking at all. It's a reminder that we don't have to be afraid of doubt, that we can realize that both sides of every issue actually inform us differently. They're both in non-dualistic thinking. No way of thinking is the way. You can't think your way to God's love. Image and likeness just is. So the joy for me is that I get to explain to you part of your spiritual life that I am really bad at. So here goes. I'm going to aim in the general direction and hope that some of this lands on fertile ground and you get what I mean. And maybe about halfway through this, if I see enough faces going, what are you talking about? Then I will ask for some help. I know that part of this theme woven throughout Scripture is being still and listening. Not just being still, but listening in the stillness. How can we, if God is, God's word for us is like wind, and it sometimes speaks in a whisper, how do we hear God's voice in our life if we've got the TV turned up so loud? If you aren't still, if I'm not still, how can I feel that very slight breeze? Is it windy in here right now? You know that when the air conditioner is moving something because the flame is dancing, but some of you can't feel it at all. For some of us, in order to experience God speaking to us right now, God would have to be bringing the hurricane force winds in our lives. Be still, and you'll be able to see the little tiny ripples across your life like you do on a very still pond. Slow down. Listen. Wait. Patient waiting. Silence. Quiet. Sometimes that means a holy darkness or a dark night of the soul, to not run away wherever you are, to just be where you are. If you are in the midst of delight, rejoice in the delight and be settled in the delight. If you are in the midst of agony, sorry, the preacher's saying, be in the midst of the agony. It will teach you something too. God's voice is present in every bit of agony, every bit of grief, every bit of joy. God's voice is speaking to us. I'm reading the book, and it uses the imagery. I'm reading it about this kind of stuff, and it uses the image of a ripening. Ripening takes time. Your soul is meant to ripen. One of the examples I will use of this great unknowing, this being still, to just verify that it's an important theme in Scripture, let me just use one word, Sabbath. That illustrates this theme. Slow down, stop working. Now, that means that don't watch TV, including sports. Did you notice last week that I gave you all rocks and then I stood behind the pulpit the whole time? All right, so one of the images, and maybe this will be the one that helps you, one of the images throughout Scripture that does this, and I hadn't thought very much about that until I'm working on this Scripture, is journey. Do you notice that in Scripture they're always going somewhere? Going off to Egypt? Going back from Egypt. Sometimes we're waiting in the desert. Sometimes we're wandering around in circles in the desert. I saw a joke that showed Moses leading the children of Israel through the desert. And on year 40, everybody in the crowd's going, recalculating. That won't get old. In my day, they would have said, it would have said, are we there yet? Maybe this line will help. It's more a destiny than a destination. There didn't used to be roads, and a lot of the places in the world where there are roads, the roads were built so that economy or war could be efficient. But Jesus didn't ever walk on roads until he got to a Roman prepared place. Start with small, slow steps. If journey is the thing that resonates for you today, don't stand still. Even if you can't tell the direction you're supposed to go, start walking, take slow steps, seek direction. The image of the book I was reading talks about a boat with no rudder, no ability to steer at all. You get in, it's called a corkle, something like that. It's a round boat, has no keel, no rudder. It's just a what looks like an upside down, just a bowl sitting in the water. It goes where it goes, either where the current takes it or where the wind takes it. No steering, no rudder. And if you found yourself called by journey and you are sitting still, then start again. Lots of traveling and lots of moving in Scripture. I think that's illustrative of the great theme of unknowing. We're on a journey. Another theme that I want to, or sub-theme that I want to put in this is the word imagination. So curiosity, playfulness, experimenting. I think that you can do this part of your spiritual life by coming to our card ministry. As long as when you come to the card ministry, it's not about an agenda, but you are just present and prayerful. I think that preparing crafts for the UMW craft event can be this, as long as it's not an agenda item and you are busily working to get things done. If you can live in the stillness or the movement of doing those kind of things, then I think this can be a place. So I put on my list woodworking and gardening and coloring. How cool would it be that getting crayons out and coloring would be part of your spiritual life? No? Anybody? I got some adults who are willing to do some coloring. What about cooking? Can cooking work in this? I think it can, as long as it's not too driven in terms of agenda. Every once in a while, Carla will just look at the pantry and go, all right, here's what I'm making. And there's this spontaneity and this playfulness, and it turns out fabulous, and I'll say, now, do that again. I want that one again. And she'll say, I have no idea how to make that again. But if you ask her, she'll tell you the place that she feels the most just present is cooking. It's those moments where it's just, I don't know what she's doing, but it's amazing when it gets to me. I'm a happy camper, but cooking, art, play. I have on my list singing and songs and poetry. Could writing poetry for you be a place of unknowing? Where you journey into a space where you don't have to figure it out. You just get to be in the mystery of the moment. Anyone? Joyce, anyone? Every once in a while, Joyce Alexander will send me a poem or something that she's written. And it's like, this is like perfect for you. Walking around in nature. Anybody? I put sitting in the park or sitting on the beach before the crowd show up, because then it gets a little strained. Thank you very much. Other words like presence, divine indwelling, contemplation, which is a way of being prayerful without including any words. And the last thing that I want to put in the imagination column is dreams in Scripture. This is a place where this unknowing, this great unknowing, shows up. How many times in Scripture does a story include somebody getting a dream? Can you think of one dream in Scripture? Play along. All right, if I say Joseph, does that help you? All right, which Joseph did you think of? Because Joseph in the Old Testament did dreams, and Joseph in the New Testament did dreams. Right? If it weren't for dreams, God speaking to Joseph, betrothed of Mary, we would not have Jesus. So listening in the midst of dreams. Now, I'd love to tell you I can figure all that out, but I'm here to tell you I don't do this part well. Every once in a while I know that dreams are aiming me. And some of those have been the best things of my life, is to have And I'll tell you, there a couple times after, around the edges of funerals, I'll now just tell folks, it's like, I had the best dreams about 6 months after my parents died. Well, my dad and I would do goofy things, like Laurel and Hardy, film it, and it would make, you know, viral video go down in history. I don't know whether I've told you, at one point we were driving the boat up at Lake Louise, and we got out to the middle, and my dad said, all right, so now it's your turn, and he gave me the steering of the boat. Because my dad had no idea how to dock the boat. I didn't know how to dock the boat either, but there were the two of us having no idea whatsoever about to dock the boat. Well, about 6 months after my dad died, I had this dream about being on that lake and with a boat, but not a powerboat. And he was trying to lift it up and turn it over, and it fell down on top of him, so he was trapped underneath the boat. And all I can remember from the dream was him just giggling. And he was happy and delighted, and it was just, it's like, all right, he's good. So I try to listen in the midst of my dreams and try to hear God speaking, and I can't explain that at all, so please don't make me try to do something intellectual around the edges of that. All I can do is tell you a story. So imagination. So we've done journey and we've done imagination. All of these themes have this sub-theme of listening and waiting. Listening actively and waiting. And waiting does not necessarily mean sitting. It may mean you're walking on your journey. I realize I'm telling you to both get moving and to wait. But what I mean is wait on God's voice. And one of the places I think that we do this listening and waiting is when we get some question related to our faith life that we don't have an easy answer for it, and we dwell in the question without trying to get a cheap and easy answer and move on. Living in the question sometimes helps us connect more deeply to God. The last thing I have is a quote. Abiding is our deepest form of worship, from center to center, being to being, heart to heart. It transforms us fundamentally and irrevocably, something like that. That. Some days. From the inside out. Because abiding is at our deepest level of consciousness. We become what we worship. Be still. Be aware. It says, be still and know. And knowing something can mean awareness, and knowing something in Scripture, we use that word sometimes euphemistically for intimacy. Be still and be deeply connected to God. I can tell you that being relentlessly busy is not working for me. Is your to-do list getting you closer to God or your destiny, or is it really just getting in the way? Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, let your Spirit whisper and help us slow down and listen, to journey, to imagine, to be fully yours. We want to abide in you and know that you abide in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.